Okay, good vacha and good evening, everyone. Thank you all for coming out for the Shabbos Hagadol Drasha. I'm going to put the source sheet not on the screen, but in the chat. So if you want to open it, you're welcome to open it on your computer. Or if you've printed it out already, however you choose, that's fine. But I think it's better for me and also better for all of you if we can look at each other in our proverbial faces, however we define that to be. So I will start this conversation and tell you how I got to this topic with a conversation that I had with my friend Rabbi Yehuda Septimus of the Young Israel of North Woodmere years ago about Aharon HaKohen, which is, we always talk about Aharon HaKohen in these very flowery terms as this individual who was so impressive in terms of being this Rodev Shalom and Ohev Shalom, this lover of peace and pursuer of peace. But my question always was, is this an actual biblical reputation, or is this something that we've just given to him over time, but is not necessarily reflected within the text or within the sources? That's, sometimes people get reputations for various reasons, not necessarily associated with anything within their source material that would seem to support it. So just to give you an example, the Otniel ben Kenaz in Midrashic literature is given this reputation as being an individual who was able to figure out all of the halachos that were forgotten during the time of Moshe's Avelos, during the time when the Jewish people were mourning over Moshe. But if you look in the text, there's really no indication that Otniel ben Kenaz was more of a halachic interpreter or halachic decisor than anyone else. And yet we give Otniel ben Kenaz this reputation. So is the reputation that has been given over to Aharon a deserved reputation, or is this something that we just sort of shared because, you know, we think peace is a valuable quality to have, so why not give it to Aharon HaKohen of all people for him to embrace it? So that's one thing that kind of crossed my mind when it came to the discussion of Aharon. The other point I want to make is just a methodological point in terms of how it was that I ultimately came to organize my source material here. So as you can imagine, if you did a Google search or a Bar Ilan search for me of Aharon, you would find out that there are numerous sources on Aharon. The Midrashim are in the hundreds, perhaps even thousands. The Talmudic statements about Aharon are also significant and multitudinous. And yet, here I am, you know, trying to create some sort of biography of him. It's quite challenging and difficult. So in order to be able to limit and really focus my research, so what I did was I commented, or I used particularly the commentary of Rashi over anything else. And I said, you know, what I'm going to do in the end of the day is I'm going to be, who was Aharon according to the Psukim and who was Aharon according to Rashi? And when I'm able to focus it like this, I can think I can bring together or pull together a more consistent and I think wonderful narrative here. So you'll see that in terms of the way I chose my source material, I'm very much focused on Rashi's interpretation. And I let Rashi choose the Midrashim that I'm going to use rather than embrace an infinite amount of Midrashim that ultimately might not give me a contiguous vision of Aharon. Point number three that I want to make before I start, which is, why choose this as a Shabbos HaGadol Drasha? What does Aharon have to do with Pesach? So the answer to that question is that Moshe and Aharon are both central figures within the Exodus movement. And even though it's always an interesting Haggadah conversation, which is, why are neither of them really mentioned significantly within the Haggadah? If you're looking for something to discuss at your Siddurim, that's certainly an area where you might look into or choose to discuss at your Siddurim. But Aharon is certainly a central figure. And I looked in my notes, and I think it was like 7-8 years ago, I did a biography of Moshe. And so I thought, why not also take the same opportunity to do a biography of Aharon? So I'm going to start with on your sheets with source number one for those of you following the sheets. Otherwise, I will be explaining everything, even if you don't have it in front of you. But I'll start with the Mishnah in the first parak of Avos, which probably everybody knows. The Mishnah says, Hillel the Shammai kiblu behem. They accepted from Hillel and Shammai. And Hillel, his first statement that he says, Hillel omer have mi talmidav shel Aharon ohev shalom virodev shalom. Ohev es habrios umekarvan la Torah. Hillel says that you should be a student of Aharon, a lover of peace, a pursuer of peace, a lover of all of mankind, of all of created kind, umekarvan la Torah, and who brought them all close to Torah. Now, it's interesting of all people to say this, that it was Hillel, because Hillel was famous for being particularly of this quality, an individual who brought peace and brought relationships to with others together. Why is it the Gemara tells us that we paskin like Hillel over Shammai in general, except for three cases? The answer that the Gemara gives is because Nochin ve'aluvinheim, they were kind and gentle people, v'shonin divrei beis Shammai, and then they would be shoneh divreihem. They would study first the words of beis Shammai before they would study their own words. So what happened? So what was it that made Hillel unique and singular that forever he should be the one that we paskin like? It's because he had this particular quality of being an individual that brought people together. What is it that makes Aharon an individual that brought people together? So interestingly enough, is they don't go to the text to find out what it is that makes Aharon like this. But if you go to a more expanded version of Pirkei Avos, Avos de Rabbi Nasan, which is source number two, in the 12th parak there. So there it describes what it was, in fact, that made Aharon so special and unique. It does not mention anything in terms of what he did in the Torah, but it mentions other things which are extra biblical, if you will. Number one is it says, Ohev Shalom Ketzad. How was Aharon a lover of peace? So it says that he would love every other person in amongst the Jewish people. And he says, how Kishaya Aharon Malech Baderech, when Aharon would go on the road, Pagabo Adam Rasha, he would bump into an evil or wicked person. Vinasan lo shalom, since he loved everybody, it didn't matter if you were wicked, if you were good, if you were bad, didn't matter to Aharon. He would greet everyone with the same gentle and warm character. And the person would have that contact with Aharon, and he would say, Oily, woe unto me, heyach esa inaya harkach ver es Aharon. This person would have this interaction with Aharon, this interaction that was so genuine and beautiful and so caring and loving. And he would say, oh my gosh, what if tomorrow I bump into Aharon again? He's going to look at me and he's going to, expect me to have improved. And I'm in the same Russia I was yesterday. So what's this person going to do automatically? The Avos de Rabbi Nasan says, this person is going to suddenly, change his ways and improve his ways because of that interaction with Aharon. Aharon was genuine. The person will want to live up or be worthy and earn the love. Of this genuine love that Aharon gave him. And in that attempt to earn and appreciate that genuine love that Aharon gave him, so what's he going to do? He's going to improve his life. The second explanation as to why Aharon was considered this lover and pursuer of peace is also indicated by probably a story that we're all aware of. Aaron would hear that two people were fighting, and he would go over to one person and he would say, you know, Mr. B feels really, really, really bad about what it is that he did to you, and he only wishes that you would come and you would forgive him and he could forgive you. And then he would go over to the other person and says, you know, Mr. A feels really bad about it. And sure enough, the two of them would end up together, all because of the interventions of Aharon. But if you were to look through the text, you would find none of this. The Jews, before they sin with the sin of the golden calf, don't not sin because of their interaction with Aharon. If anything, they do sin because of their interaction with Aharon. There's no indication that Aaron is able to bring together various types of people from the text. So where is it that this reputation comes from? And how is it that Avos seems to be making this claim about Aaron? What is it that we are missing about him in terms of his character? And here, so I wanted to start searching through the text to see if we could really build a biography and characterization of Aharon that would justify this interpretation of him as this Oev Shalom, Rodev Shalom, you know, Oev es Abrios Mekarvan LaTorah. How can we prove, or how can we define Aharon as being like this? So I'll start actually not with a quote from the Torah, but I will start with a quote from Shmuel Aleph, Perek Beis, Pasuk Chav Zayin. There, it's talking about one of Aharon's descendants, Eli. During the time of Shmuel, Eli was the Kohen Gadol. He was not working in the Beis HaMikdash, because the Beis HaMikdash had not yet been built, but he was working in the Mishkan, which at the time was in Shiloh. And it tells that a prophet comes to Eli, Vayavo Ish Elohim El Eli, Vayomer Elav, and he says to Eli, what? Ko amar Hashem, thus says the Lord, Haniglo nigleti el beis avicha biosam bimitzrayim leveis paro. He says, did I not reveal myself to your father's house when they were in Egypt? So we all know that Eli's father, since Eli's a Kohen, was not Moshe, but was Aharon. So here, this Navi is saying that God revealed himself to Aharon, not when they were in the desert, where we know Aharon did have prophecy when they were in the desert, but he revealed himself to Aharon. It says that God revealed himself to Aharon when they were still in Egypt. And Rashi here says, quotes a tradition, that Aharon had a responsibility before the Jews left Egypt. What was his responsibility before the Jews left Egypt, and before Moshe even takes upon himself this responsibility of being a leader and a messenger for God? So Rashi says, Mikan, from here, from this pasuk, I learn, Shenisnabe Aharon b'Mitzrayim. I learn from here, from this pasuk in Shmuel, that Aharon prophesied while they were in Egypt. And now Rashi continues, Mahi hanivuah. What was the specific prophecy that Aharon prophesied? He says, Ve'omer alehem ish shekotze enav hishlichu uvigigle mitraim al titma'u. What was Aharon's responsibility? What was the message that he brought to the Jewish people while they were in Egypt? He says it was that every person, every individual should get rid of his idolatry and not defile himself with the idols of Egypt. So Aharon, according to this pasuk and according to the interpretation of Rashi, before even Moshe Rabbeinu steps on the scene, is serving a valuable purpose in the land of Egypt, and that purpose is to keep this slave nation, which no doubt has a lot of doubts about God's commitment to them, to keep them on task. Yes, I know life is difficult. Yes, I know life is challenging. Yes, I know you're working hard in the fields. Yes, I know the Egyptians are mistreating you, but stay focused. don't choose this as a time to reach out to idols, but continue your commitments and your responsibilities to God, and don't embrace idol worship in this time. And this is the point that the Navi is making to Eli, at least according to Rashi, that I need you to pick up your game. In the worst of times, Aharon was able to encourage and focus the Jewish people. Now here are you in a time which isn't great. It's the period of the Shoftim. It's not the best time ever for the Jewish people, but it's also not the worst of times. So you need to take upon yourself this responsibility, this commitment to focusing the Jewish people. That is the only indication, one pasuk in Shmuel, of any aspect of Aharon's career before his interactions with Moshe. We know that Aharon was too young to be the person who stood on the side of the river and watched Moshe's basket float down the river. That job was given to the oldest child of Amram and Yocheved, to Miriam. And Aharon was much closer in age to Moshe, and therefore he could not have been the one who did that. So where is it that we meet Aharon again? We meet Aharon again, interestingly, at the burning bush. At the burning bush, if you remember, Moshe has run away from the land of Egypt. He has gone off to Midian. He has washed his hands of any responsibilities of the Jewish people. And according to the Midrash, he runs after an escaped sheep and finds himself on Har Sinai, where he sees a burning bush. And God says, I need you to go to Paro and tell him, these are my people, and it's time for him to let them go. And famously, Moshe spends a good deal of his time arguing that God should send someone else, that this is not the right job for him. And, a little bit of modesty is okay. Too much modesty is just annoying and difficult to deal with. And at a certain point, after Moshe has said, no, too many times, God becomes angry with Moshe. And it says here, source number 4 on your sheet, Perek Dalid, Pasuk Yedalid of Shemos, Vayichar Af Hashem b'Moshe, God becomes angry with Moshe, Vayomer, and he says to him, Halo Aharon Achicha Alevi, I know about Aaron, your brother, who is a Levite, Yadati, I know about him, ki daber yidaber hu, vigam hinehu yotze likratecha biracha v'samach bilibo. It says that Aaron, I know that he is someone who is eloquent, which again, now that we know that pasuk in Shmuel, we know what it means when God says, I know that Aharon is eloquent. It means that I know that Aharon has already been an individual who has taken upon himself the responsibilities and the mantle of leadership within the Jewish people. I already know that Aharon is doing those things. So therefore, he is going to be the one who speaks for you. And what's interesting, it says also, v'ra'acha, and he sees you, v'samach bilibo, he will be genuinely happy for you by the fact that you will be the one who will be taking upon himself the leadership of the Jewish people, and he won't be jealous in any of way. And that's what Rashi points out here. He points out a number of aspects of what we learn about Aharon as opposed to Moshe. Rashi comments, he quotes Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Omer kol charon af shebatora oser roshe. Every time God gets angry at someone for their refusal, for their failures, it leaves a mark. Vizelo ne'amar bo roshem. But here, what's the mark that it leaves? He says, what was the ultimate punishment that existed because of this failure by Aaron, by Moshe? Amar lo Rabbi Yossi. So Rabbi Yossi answers Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, Af bizo ne'amar roshem. Here also, there was a result. What was it? What was the particular result? Particular result, Rashi says, Halo Aharon Achicha HaLevi, Aharon, your brother from the tribe of Levi. So it says, Shehaya asid lios Levi velo kohen. If Moshe had accepted the responsibility and the mantle of leadership the first time, then Aaron would have been a Levi and Moshe would have been a Kohen. Ve'akahuna ha'isi omer latzeis mimcha, and Moshe, you would have been the one who was the Kohen. Me'ata, but now that you are refusing leadership and refusing to be the one who speaks to Paro, now, lo yechein, it won't be like this. Elohu yeh kohen, v'ata halevi. Rather, you will be the he will be the kohen, and you will be the levi. Shenemar u'moshe ish Elohim, banav yikar'u al shevet halevi. As it says in Divrei Hayamim, Moshe, you and your children will be just Leviim. So what is it that loses Moshe the kahuna, and what is it that gains Aharon the kahuna? Moshe's reluctance is what makes him lose the kahuna. His reluctance to take on the mantle of leadership, and particularly the requirements and responsibilities of interaction with others, whereas Aaron's willingness to be a daber yedaber, to be eloquent, to be interactive, to be able to have conversations with people, that is ultimately what makes Aaron specifically responsible for the kahuna. Aaron is able to interact with others. And not only that, but he is appreciative of others. Because God says about him as well, V'ra'acha v'samach b'libo, Aharon is going to see you and celebrate seeing you. K'she'ata savur, Rashi says, you think sha'ayye makbir alacha sha'ata ule l'gdula? You think Aharon's going to be makbid on you, he's going to be brigus, because why? Because his little brother got the job instead of him? Not true. He's going to see you and he's going to celebrate the fact that you've gotten this position. Umisham zacha Aharon la'ade ha'choshen hanasun ala lev. That's why Aharon gets to wear the choshen. That's why he gets to wear the breastplate on his heart with the names of all of the Jewish people. What is it that we've learned about Aharon in this initial? We haven't even met him. But in the witness that God bears about Aharon, what is it that we learn about him? We learn that Aharon in particular, Aharon individually, was a person who interacts well with others. And not only that, but he is genuinely caring for others. And it is that genuineness and it is that interactive quality that ultimately allows him to take on the mantle of kahuna to be the high priest of the Jewish people. Which also, this leads into the second major event of Aharon's life that we find in the Torah. And that is, of course, the golden calf. Which, interestingly enough, let's just recall a little bit of what goes on. Moshe goes up to the mountain after they have heard God speak on Har Sinai, and he's going to be there, everybody knows, for 40 days and 40 nights. And of course, he is there. Well, the truth is, the Torah never tells you how long he's going to be there. So the people, of course, get uptight. When's Moshe coming down? He's been up there for a really long time. And what's interesting is that where was Aharon when Moshe goes up the mountain? So interestingly enough, and this is source number 5 on your sheets if you have them in front of you, Shmos Perek Chav Dalid, Psukim Yud Gimel and Yud Dalid, the Pasuk tells us, Vayakom Moshe v'Yoshua Mishar So, Vayal Moshe El Har HaElohim. If you look through most of the Torah, it's usually Aharon and Moshe going together. But here, it's not Aharon and Moshe going together, but what's going on? Moshe and Yehoshua go up the mountain. Yehoshua waits for him for 40 days and 40 nights at the foot of the mountain. But what's Aharon doing? The El HaZekeinim Amar, and Moshe says to the Zekeinim, to the elders, he says, you wait around here until we come back. And Aaron cannot go up to Har Sinai to accept the Torah because you, Aaron, and Hur, anyone who has any legal issues, anyone who has any issues of interactions with one another, they are the ones to go to Aaron. Yehoshua, he goes to learn from Moshe. Aharon stays down to take on responsibilities of the mantle of leadership. And there Rashi points out, source 5a, he says, Lo yadati mativo shel Yehoshua kan. He says, it's not really so clear what Yehoshua needs to go up. Why wasn't Yehoshua left back? He says, Vomer ani shaya talmid milaveh larav ad mekon hakbalat chumei ha'ar. He says, it seems to me, he says he was a student by his Rebbe, and so he accompanied his Rebbe until he couldn't go anymore. And then he goes up. Whereas Aaron and Hur, they are staying back, Rashi says, because they are the ones who need lishpot lechol ish rivo. They are there to mediate between the various different Jewish people in terms of their arguments with one another. And then, of course, Aharon really does step up in terms of mediating interactions. Because what is going on? The people see that Moshe is tarrying, that he's not coming down from the mountain. And who do they go to? Vayakel ha'am al Aharon. The people all go to Aharon. Why didn't they go to Hur? So famously, Rashi quotes the Medrash that they went to Hur first. Hur says, I'm not doing this. So they murdered him. And now they're coming to Aharon. But even if you don't say that that happened, why are they coming to Aharon? Because Aharon has already established himself as an individual who is what? Who is able to interact with the people. He's able to have conversations. He's able to appreciate people for who they are. Wasn't it Aharon the one who kept them on task when they were in Mitzrayim? Wasn't it Aharon who was the one who was able to speak both to them and to Paro when they were in Mitzrayim? So who are we going to go to when we are worried, when we are nervous, when we are anxious? Because Moshe has not yet returned. Who else are we going to go to if not Aharon? And what does Aharon do? Aharon says to them, Parkuniz mehazahav asher bozneh nesheichem b'neichem uvnoseichem veviu alai. He says, go get the jewelry from your children and from your wives, assuming that they're going to say no. Rashi points out on a number of occasions in these psukim that Aharon is doing everything within his power to delay the people from what it is that they want to do. They want to create some sort of physical materialization, something that is going to be a representative for them, that they are able to declare as their leader, as their conduit, whether to God or to others. And Aharon is using all the delay tactics within his power in order to slow them down. But, and why? Because again, Aharon appreciates people for who they are. That's what makes him successful at interacting with others, is that he doesn't try to impose himself, but Aharon is instead an individual who interacts with others in a unique and singular way. Okay? And this continues on in that when Moshe comes down, of course, he gets very angry, and he says to Aharon, he says, what were you doing here? Shmos Perek Lamed Beis, Psukim Chaf Aleph through Chaf Hei, this is source number 7 on your sheet. Vayomer Moshe el Aharon, Ma Salacha Amazek, Ki Eveta Alav Chat Agdola. What did these people do that you caused them to sin? And Aharon's response in Pasuk Chaf Bat can be read in a couple of ways. Vayomer Aharon, Aaron says, Al yichar af Adoni, Moshe, don't be angry. Ataya data et ha'am ki virahu, you know these people, right? That sometimes they're bent on evil. So So on the one hand, we could not give Aharon the benefit of the doubt in this situation. What are we saying? This is a classic case of, you know, here's Aharon trying to pawn off his own responsibility, his own failure of leadership onto the people, right? You know, when you're a first year teacher and someone walks in and, you know, the kids are climbing the walls and, you have no control over the classroom. So what is it? The principal looks at the teacher and says, why does the classroom look like this? And the teacher says, well, you know how these kids are. You gave me the worst class in the school. What do you expect is going to happen? So it could be that Aharon is the one who's saying that, but it could be otherwise. Let's read it a little differently. What does he say? Vayomer Aharon. Aharon says to Moshe, Al yichar af Adoni. What does he say to them? Don't be angry at the people. Don't be angry at the people. They're just being normal. Every people has a bad side to them and a good side to them. What Aharon is trying to say to Moshe in a nice way and in a kind way is, listen, I know you've been up on Har Sinai. I know you've been talking to God. I know that you don't do anything wrong anymore, and I love you for it. I think you're amazing, you're wonderful, you're stupendous, you're the greatest dude on earth. You totally deserve to be the leader of the Jewish people. But you know what I know? I know these people. And once upon a time, Moshe, before you were the guy who, you know, talks to God panim al panim, once upon a time, you knew these people as well. So, and what does Aharon say to Moshe? I know these people. You know these people. Don't be angry with them. What Aharon is doing here is trying to say to Moshe, they're normal human beings, and human beings make mistakes. And what's amazing is that Moshe hears this right before he goes up on Har Sinai to daven for another 40 days and 40 nights for God to forgive the Jewish people. And I wonder if it isn't this pep talk by Aharon that gives Moshe the gumption to stand before the Ribono Shel Olam, who says, I want to wipe these people out. And what is it? And Aharon says to him, and Moshe says, no, God, these are your people. And, you know, you chose them for who they are. And, you know, trust me, because I spoke to Aharon, this is what he says. And it's interesting that if you go on, every other mention of the Egel later on, particularly in Shmos, but even when it's mentioned later, it always gets mentioned as Ha'Egel Asher Asa Aharon. It was the Egel that Aharon made. Now, if Aharon wasn't responsible, why is the Torah suddenly giving all the responsibility or placing all the responsibility on the shoulders of Aharon? Because the fact that Aharon made that Egel is a representative of the fact that Aharon understood the people for who they were. And I think this comes up as well with the dedication of the Mishkan that we're going to read in a couple of weeks. On the eighth day, after they built the Mishkan, of course, they have this massive, wonderful dedication ceremony, which actually took place during Nisan. So we're in the right time to be talking about it. And one of the amazing things is Vayikra Perek Tes, source number 9 on your source sheet. What is it? What is the first sacrifice that we're going to be bringing on the eighth day? We're going to be bringing an Egel ben Bakar lechatas. We're going to bring a calf as a sin offering. So number one is I want to point out to you is that if you've been paying attention to today's parsha and to next week's parsha, a sin offering you can't bring a sin offering for idolatry. It doesn't work. Okay? A sin offering can only be brought for a sin that you do accidentally. Did Aharon do the sin of the Egel Azav accidentally? The answer is, to a certain extent, yes. He did it out of an understanding and a comprehension of the people, and that's what he was trying to get across to Moshe. And so he brought this Egel ben bakar lechatas, he brings this as a reminder that this level of comprehension of the people, Aharon, is not something that you should be ashamed of. It's not something that should be hurtful to you, but instead it's something that you should be proud of. Part of what makes Aharon Aharon is the fact that he understood and comprehended the people, that he had that ability to interact with others and understand others, and that's what allowed him to be able to step up to the Kahuna Gedola. So essentially what I'm saying is the same personal quality that allowed him to build a golden calf is the same personal quality that allowed him to be the unique and singular person who is able to stand up and become the Kohen Gadol. Because in order to be that shaliach, that messenger, you need to have a singular understanding of the people for whom you are being the messenger. Aharon will be the conduit for the Jewish people's commitment, for their forgiveness, for their thanksgiving. And in order to do that, you have to be a unique man of the people, someone who is so invested within them that he's able to serve that responsibility successfully. And Moshe, it seems, starts to get that appreciation for Aharon there. In Perek Tes, Psukim, Vav, and Zayin, what happens? Vayomer Moshe al Aharon, krav el ha-mazbeach, v'aseh et chatascha v'yoto l'asecha, v'chaper ba'adcha v'ad ha'am. What does Moshe say? Moshe says to Aharon, go ahead, go do it. Be yourself here, Aharon, and go bring the sin offering. Moshe says, I know that what I need to do is I need to be the guy up there on the mountain. But I also know that you are the particular individual who's able to take responsibilities for the individual responsibility for the people and to be sincere and genuine in your interaction with them. And of course, we know what happens on the eighth day, that Aharon's children fail on that day. Nadav and Avihu bring the Esh Zara. It's worth a conversation as to what exactly their sin was, but let's just say that they sinned. Okay? And of course, Aharon is upset, but what does Aharon do? Famously, Vayidom Aharon, Perek Yud of Vayikra, Pasuk Gimel, Moshe says to Aharon, tries to settle him down, and Aharon remains quiet. Rashi famously points out there that Aharon was severely rewarded for this quiet. Kibel schar al shtikato. Rashi says he was rewarded for his silence. Umaschar kibel shenit yachid imo hadibor, that God gave a specific mitzvah on his behalf. The specific mitzvah, I'll talk about that in a second, what the specific mitzvah he gave to Aharon. But what Aharon is realizing, the reason he is being quiet is because he realizes that on the one hand, he is suffering a loss that none of us should ever have to experience. But on the other hand, he's recognizing that he has responsibilities. This is the day when the Shechina will once again rest among the Jewish people after the sin of the golden calf. I cannot let them miss out on this opportunity on this day. What was the particular mitzvah that was given to him as a reward for this silence? The mitzvah was the prohibition of a Kohen drinking wine before he goes to do Avodah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's an odd thing to think about, if you want to be theoretical about what it is what is Aharon is able to be genuine and to be interactive with others without the need or without the help of any sort of external factors to assist him. What Aaron is able to do is to be genuine and sober, which most people, shall we say, are not able to do. The people with who make the best friends are the individuals, I think, who are able to be genuine even without having to have schnapps with you. They're individuals who are able to be empathetic and sympathetic, caring and loving without ever having to have a drink with you. And that's what Aaron was. He didn't need anything from anyone to interact with another. And it could be that Hashem is saying to him, listen, Aaron, you don't need anything. You are able to step into the Holy of Holies. You are able to walk up the altar and bring sacrifices. You are able to bring the incense. You don't need anything. You yourself have the personality that is able to interact with God and to be a true messenger of the people. If you continue along in that story, there's another conflict between Aaron and Moshe, which is Aaron was supposed to act as if that he was not in mourning at all whatsoever. And nevertheless, he doesn't eat a certain sin offering. And it says, at Seir HaChatat Darosh Darash Moshe, Moshe seeks out and wants to know why this specific sin offering was not eaten, as if Aaron was publicly mourning over the loss of his children. And in Moshe's interaction with him, Moshe seems to be saying, Aaron, you're the man of the people. You're the individual who cares about others, and you're the individual who's so sensitive to others' needs. And here it is. What are you doing? You missed out on this opportunity to suppress your own needs for the needs of others. And Aaron's response is listen. וידבר אהרון למשה, הן היום הקריבו את חטאתם ואת עולתם לפני השם, ותקרנה אותי כאילה ואכלתי חטאת היום הייתה בעיני השם. He says, I did my responsibilities to the people, but I also have personal responsibilities, and I'm taking care of those. And Moshe says, I understand. Because again, this was the difference between Moshe and Aharon. What is the difference between Moshe and Aharon? Moshe needs to give up everything in order to be a leader of the Jewish people. Aharon needs not to give up everything. Aharon can still be a father. Aharon can still be a husband. Aharon can still be all of these things because his particular responsibility is about the way he interacts and relates to others. Just continuing along, and I'm going to move a little faster because I'm running out of time, is I will go along to the question of the menorah. Rashi points out that the menorah at the beginning of Parshas Baha'alosra, Bamidbar Perichas, that Aharon, that the reason this was here is because Aharon was upset. Why was he upset? He was upset because he couldn't participate with the other leaders of the tribes in the gifts that they gave to the Mishkan. It's an odd thing to say for someone who's going to spend basically almost every day of his entire life in the Mishkan, that all of a sudden he's going to be upset by the fact that he can't give, a gift. You know, your entire life is dedicated to the Mishkan. What is this? So the point is that no, he was upset that he couldn't be a representative of the people. I want to be a representative of the people. That's who I am. And here, every Nasi, every leader of a tribe is getting to be a representative of the people. And I don't get that. And that's the thing that Aaron was upset about in particular. And so Hashem says to him, no, you have something. When you light that menorah every day, you have to think of yourself as giving a gift, as being a true representative of the people. Continuing along, we have the case of Miriam. Miriam famously speaks Lashon Hara about Moshe, about potentially that he had to leave his wife, that he wasn't taking care of his children. And God gets upset because of Miriam speaking about Lashon Hara about Moshe. And we all remember that Moshe davens on behalf of Miriam and says, El na rafanallah. But do we remember what it was that Aharon said in the wake of God's intervention there and punishment of Miriam. And here we go to Bamidbar, Perek Yud Beis, Pasuk Yud Aleph, that right after the cloud leaves the tent, Aharon is the first one to speak to Moshe. Vayomer Aharon el Moshe, bi Adoni, al na tashet aleinu chatat asher nawalnu asher chatan. Before appealing to God for forgiveness, who is it that Aharon appeals to forgiveness for? To Moshe. Because what is Aharon all about? Aharon is about human interactions, human care. Before he says, before I turn to God and ask God for forgiveness, and before I turn to God and ask God for forgiveness for Miriam, what's the first thing I need to do? I need to know, Moshe, do you forgive us? Because that is who Aharon is. Aharon is the individual who cares about individuals. He's the human being who interacts with human beings. And thus, in this situation, his first responsibility, even after they just heard God speak and be angry with them, his first responsibility is going to be creating peace between a brother and a sister. And that's what it makes Aharon a unique and singular person. And if you go to the case then of Aharon and Korach in Bamidbar Perek Yud Zayin, what is it that Aharon, what is his responsibility in Korach? He is not the one who is having conflicts with Korach. He never even enters into the conflict. What is his responsibility when a plague hits the Jewish people in the wake of the argument with Korach? What does Aharon do? Aharon is the individual who grabs from the incense and uses the incense to stop the plague. The famous line is, Vaya'amod bein ha-meisim uvein ha-chayim. Aharon is the one who stands up between the live and the dead. And Rashi records this fascinating argument that what does it mean that he was standing there between the live and the dead? Achaz es ha-malach. He grabbed the malach ha-maves, ve'amido al-korcho, and he held him down against his will. Amar lo ha-malach, the angel of death says to him, Hanachli laso shlichusi. He says, let me go. I am doing the work of God. You have no right to stand in front of me. Okay, and so what does Aharon say? Amar lo Moshe tzivani la'akev al yadcha. Aharon says, I'm not letting you go. Moshe told me, I need to stop you. Amar lo ani shlucho shel makom. So the Malach says to him, what do you mean? I work for God, you work for Moshe. It's an easy decision here. I win. I got the full house. Amarlo, Aharon says, no, you don't. Ein Moshe omer klum milibo el mipi agvura. Okay? I know that Moshe speaks directly to God and only says that which God tells him to say. Imein ata ma'amin hare HaKadosh Baruch Hu Moshe al Pesach o el Moed bo imi ushal. What is Aharon saying? He says, you know what? Let's go. I know where Moshe and HaKadosh Baruch Hu hang out. They hang out in Olam Moed. Why don't you come with me and we'll go ask them? What? Of course. Because what is Aharon all about? Human interactions. What's Aharon going to do? I'm saving people through people. And that's where the Medrash or the Pirkei Avos gets the notion that Aharon was an Ohev Shalom, an Arodev Shalom. Aharon was throughout the Torah, an individual who interacts with others, and it is that very human quality which gives him this power to be the Kohen Gadol. And finally, I'm going to go to Aharon's death in Bamidbar Perek Chaf. Okay? Well, it always bothered me, and it's my bar mitzvah parsha, so it really always bothered me. Why does Aharon get punished for hitting the rock? Moshe hit the rock. Aharon, he didn't hit the first rock. There was no reason he would think he had to hit the second rock. Why is it that Aharon is punished? And Hashem says right afterwards, right after the whole situation, Vayomer Hashem el Moshe v'el Aharon. God says to Moshe and Aharon, Ya'an lohe'emantem bi L'akdisheni le'nei b'nei Yisrael. You did not believe in me. If I were Aaron, I'd be like, you know what, God? You're right. He didn't believe in you, that Moshe Rabbeinu. He didn't believe you. He hit the rock. But you know what I did? The same thing I always did. I stood there right next to Moshe. I haven't hit anything since you told me to hit the water back in Mitzrayim. But Aaron doesn't do that. So what was Aaron's failure? And the Mefarshim are saying, oh, he should have been this, he should have been that. I'll tell you what his failure was. I'll tell you exactly what his failure was. The people had every right to complain. They had every right to complain because for 40 years they've been given water and there was no water coming out of the rock. And Moshe, what does he do? Moshe gets angry. Moshe gets angry, says, Shimuna Amorim, Amina Sela Zenotzilachem Mayim. He gets angry. He says, I'm going to hit the rock. What's Aaron's role there? This is where Aaron needs to play the same role he's played before. He needs to be who he was when Miriam spoke Lashon Hara. He needs to be who he was when Korach was involved, when the Jewish people wanted to do the sin of the golden calf. As soon as the Jewish people start to complain, Aaron needs to turn to Moshe and say, Moshe, al yicharapcha. Moshe, don't get angry. Take a chill, Moshe. You know how the people are. There's a lot of angst going on here. They haven't drinking water. There's a lot they have to do. Aaron should have stepped in and been the mediator that he's been throughout history. But that's not what he does. And so Hashem says, Moshe, you didn't live up to your role as my messenger. And Aaron, you didn't live up to your role as the peacemaker. And therefore, you're not going to bring these people into the land of Israel. That was the failure of Aaron. Aaron, each individual, Moshe and Aaron, both of them fail to live up to their usual character within the desert. Moshe should have been the leader. Aaron should have been the mediator and the peacemaker and wasn't. And what's amazingly enough is the staying power and commitment power of Aaron's personality. The staying power and commitment power is indicated by a fascinating Rashi. Rashi says that after Aaron died, so if you remember the story is Aaron, Moshe, and Elazar go up to Hor HaHar. Aaron dies there. Famously, Moshe was very jealous of Aaron's death, and Hashem promises that you will die the same way. Only Moshe and Elazar come down. And the Torah tells us, Vayir'u kol ha'edah, so number one is Aaron is blessed because he gets to see his son wear the Kohen Gadol's uniform. He gets that special blessing, something that Moshe does not get. Moshe does not get to see his children take on the mantle of leadership, whereas Aaron does get to see his child take on that responsibility. And then Vayir'u kol ha'edah ki gava Aaron, the entire nation saw that Aaron died. Kishira'u Moshe ve'Elazar yordim, Rashi says. When they saw Moshe and Elazar coming down without the Aaron lo yarada, amru heichan hu Aaron. When they saw only two people come down, they said, where's Aaron? Amar lahem meis. They said Aaron had died. And what do the people say? Amar, amru, efshar misha amad kenegen malach. They didn't believe it. They couldn't believe an individual who was so full of life, an individual who was able to stand up against the Malach when the plague hit after Korach, that this individual would not be able to stand up to the Mir Malach Hamaves. The people knew Aaron. They knew him as an individual, as a character of immense spiritual faith, but also as one who was me'urav in habrios. He was someone who was woven into the people, someone who understood the people, embraced the people. They couldn't believe that he died. Okay? And it says that Vayivku es Aharon, Kol Beis Yisrael, they all cried for him. And it uses the terminology Kol Beis Yisrael, the entirety of the house of Israel. And Rashi here says, quotes an amazing medrash. Ha'anashim v'hanashim. It was the men and the women. L'shfi shaya Aharon rodif shalom. Since Aharon was a pursuer of peace. Umatio ahava bin ba'ale miriva uvein ish li'ishto. And because he solved contradictions and conflicts between conflicting parties, whether they be two individuals or even a man and his wife, this was why the entirety of Israel cried for Aharon. And then if you go to the end of Devarim, when he describes how they cried for Moshe, it only uses the word B'nai Yisrael. And Rashi, Perek Lamed Dalid of Devarim, Pasuk Ches, says, B'nai Yisrael, who cried? Hazcharim, it was only the men who cried for Moshe. Aval be'aharon, but when it came to Aaron, mito shehaya rodev shalom, v'nosein shalom bein ish l're'ehu uvein ishala ba'ala ne'amar kol beis Yisrael zcharim unekevos. The entirety of the Jewish people cried for Aaron, as opposed to only a segment of the Jewish people, which cried for Moshe. It's an amazing thought if you think about it. Moshe, the one who gave the Torah, was not as mourned as much as Aharon. Because both Moshe and Aharon played very particular roles within the history of our people. Moshe is the teacher, but also the messenger of God par excellence. What he needs to be is someone who is essentially separate and separated from the community. If you think about it, Moshe never experienced the slavery. Moshe grew up in Paro's house. Moshe spends years away from the suffering people. And even in the desert, Moshe lives a different life. He doesn't think about food and water and shelter. His life is completely consumed and subsumed in the responsibilities of spirituality. You contrast that with Aharon. Aharon, from his first moment, is a daber yidaber. He's an individual who interacts. He's an individual who has to be me'urav in habrios. He's an individual who has to be involved with the people. And he develops, therefore, a singular understanding of the people. He takes on particularly the most challenging and difficult responsibilities of leadership, of getting down and dirty with the most difficult conflicts within the people. He's an individual who takes that on willingly, something that Moshe does not want to have a part of, but Aaron takes it on. And because of that, Hashem says, Aaron's the Kohen Gadol. Moshe, you can carry the Torah, but Aaron's got to be the one who gets his hands dirty with the blood. He's the individual who's going to be the one who greets the Jew who wants forgiveness at the front of the Mishkan and helps him bring his sacrifice. He's the one who's going to be there when, you know, the plague is hitting. He's the one who's going to stand there and protect the living. He's the individual who, before he even turns to God, is going to try to make peace between people. This is what Aharon was. Aharon was the one whose responsibility was Urav in Habrius. Moshe and Aharon play different roles. So why is it, going back to our initial statement, why is it that Pirkei Avos says Aharon was Ohev Shalom and Rodev Shalom? That's because Aharon was the ultimate man of the people. And he lives, like the title of this drasha, beneath perhaps one of the greatest and grandest shadows in history. But, you know, Lahavdil, very much like the 1980s and 1990s Bulls, without Scottie Pippen, there's no Michael Jordan. Lahavdil, but without Aharon, there's no Moshe. Aharon is the one who is able to take upon himself the responsibilities of the day-to-day interactions between the people, and that is his quality, that is his personality. And therefore his failure also was not taking about his that responsibility, the same way Moshe's failure was not taking upon himself his commitments to God. And so their sin mirrors the unique aspects and singular aspects of their personality. So this is my attempt at a biography of Aaron HaKohen. And again, thank you all for listening. If you have any questions, feel free to put them in the chat or ask them now. You can use the raising hand, whatever.
Yes, you can.
Thank you.
Yes, you can.
Yeah, happy birthday again to my dad.
Yes, you can. Happy birthday, Bob.
Happy birthday.
Question.
Yeah.
I always wondered why, like, when they came, when Moshe disappears,